Anyway, Psalm 112 and so many other things I can tell you that you've probably heard before. Verse number 1, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and leadeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He should not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. How unworthy we are to stand here, but God, I pray that you would bless your word exceedingly and abundantly. And Lord, give us that we would have. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. A little boy was asked one time, said, what's the difference in Mother's Day and Father's Day? He said, well, they're pretty well the same, but on Father's Day you don't spend as much on the gift. And that's the way he described. But most of you have heard maybe have watched. There was something on, I don't even know if it's still on television now, but men behaving badly. And they was depicting how bad men are and the different things that they do. But the Bible here in Psalm 112 tells us how men can behave not badly, but godly. Now, wouldn't this world be a whole lot better place if men were not behaving badly as portrayed on the world's television, but men would read the Bible, fear the Lord, have delight in the law of the Lord, and behave godly? That's what we need today. Proverbs 20 and verse 6 says, but a faithful man who can find. We need faithful men today, more now than ever before. Ladies, now I'm going to ask, you say, where? I don't even know why I came. You're going to preach to my husband. You're going to preach to my boyfriend. You're going to preach to the men and the daddies and the husbands. And that is right. But you have a special place today, ladies, because these men are not going to take notes. And so, ladies, I need you, while I'm preaching and trying to straighten your husband out, I need you to take notes, because they're going to need it one day. And they won't write it down. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I think America's men, we need a wake-up call. I need a wake-up call. Our wives need to be need to have a godly man. Our children need to have a godly man. Our church needs to have a godly man. Our businesses need to have godly men. Our community needs to have a godly men. Our nation needs to have godly men. Men behaving godly, not men behaving badly. Our families, if we're going to survive in this 21st century, we need strong male leadership and stop behaving badly. Someone said, as the family goes, so goes all of society. Well, I would say this, as the men go, so does the family. When men behave badly, society suffers. But when men behave godly, society is strengthened. All through the Bible, you will see men that have behaved badly versus men that have behaved godly. Every day, over 300,000 men become first-time fathers. And we don't get any training. We don't go to school to learn how to be a father. And ladies and gentlemen, the only training that we will ever be or ever receive about how to be a good godly father is in the pages of a Bible that you have in your lap. Psalm 112. You will find in the very first verse the root of the problem, and if we can get the first verse, every other verse will come very naturally, and you will see, praise ye the Lord, here it is, blessed is the man, number one, that feareth the Lord and delighteth in his commandments. Those two things, ladies and gentlemen, you get those right. If I would get those right. And then all of the other things. In verse 2, you'll see a promise. promise concerning his children. Verse number 3 and 4, you see a promise concerning his character. Verses 5, you see a promise concerning his conduct. Verse number 6 and 7 and 8, you'll see a promise concerning his confidence. And in verse number 9, you'll see a promise concerning his charity. In verse number 6, you'll see a promise, verse number 10, a promise concerning his commendation. All of those other things will fall in place when first men are blessed by, number one, fearing God and delighting in his word. Many times you search the Bible, get you a good concordance or get you a search engine on your computer. Blue Letter Bible is one of the best. And you search this. I did this yesterday. It said, blessed is the man. And I typed that in. Blessed is the man. And so many times, all through the book of Psalms, it'll tell you how to be a blessed man. Psalm number 1. Verse number 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, but whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind driveth away. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, and the the way of the ungodly he will despise. Ladies and gentlemen, Psalm, blessed is that man. This is the kind of men we need, the world needs, our children need, our church needs. Let me give you four things, and we'll be through. Four quick things, and we'll be to lunch here in just about an hour and a half. I want you to remember this. I'm going to give you the outline already on the front end because nobody ever remembers it on the back end. Number 1, acknowledge the power. Number 2, avoid the pitfalls. Number 3, arrange the priorities. And number 4, assume your place. Men, those four things right there found in Psalm 112, acknowledge the power, avoid the pitfalls, arrange the priorities, and assume the place. And ladies and gentlemen, that'll revolutionize our church. That'll revolutionize Dyersburg, Tennessee. We need some good, godly men that will behave godly and not badly. Number 1, you need to acknowledge the power. The power of what? The power of your influence. You have the power, men, listen to me, you have the power in your home. Oh no, I'm not talking about the power just to snap your fingers and get something done. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the power of influence. You will influence. Your home will take on the character of that good man in that home. The church will take on the character of the leadership. The home will take on the character of that man. And you have a powerful influence over your wife. You have a powerful influence over your children. Your children are watching what you do and they will follow in your footsteps. Your wife, men, you are the head of your home. You should be the head of your home. Ladies, don't get upset. It's just the way the Bible says it. You are, ladies, your husband is the head of that home. He's responsible for that home. You say, well, I tell you, I run the show around. That's fine. If you want to, and men, if you want a letter, that's perfectly fine. But I can tell you this, out on the football field, the quarterback gets in a little huddle, and he says, I'm not going to call the play like I'm supposed to. I'm going to let you call it. If that play goes bad, the coach ain't going to fuss at the guy that called the bad play. He's going to fuss at the quarterback who was supposed to make the play to begin with. So when you get to heaven, help yourself. Let her control. Let your kids run the house if you want to. But when you get to heaven, every bad decision that they made, you're going to give account for it because you're the quarterback. Hallelujah. Husbands, you have a powerful influence over that home. You're not the slave driver. Your wife is not supposed to walk two steps back and, no, that's not what we're talking about. But you are to take that responsibility of that home and that influence over your family and over your children. Your children, ladies and gentlemen, a dad not in that home, a father in that home. Statistics, I'm not going to read them all because who knows if statistics are right. But this is what they say, that a fatherless home will have more teenagers married out of wedlock. We'll have more divorce rates raised. We'll have more experience in incarceration in the juvenile institutions. Drop out of high school. All of these statistics are saying with a fatherless home, that's what kind of power and influence that you will have in that home. Dads, We need to be behaving godly and not badly. Amen. The Bible says, Psalm 127, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. So you take an arrow, and that man can point that arrow any direction and shoot it any direction. Man, that is your children as arrows in a mighty hunter's hand. You take that arrow, and you can shoot it any direction you want to. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. I challenge you to go through the Bible, especially the Old Testament, and look and see how children followed in the footsteps of their father. Whether it was godly or whether it was badly, you will see how those children followed in those footsteps. And I'll tell you, men, and I'm preaching to myself, I worked on this yesterday, preaching it to myself, and now preaching it to you. Listen, if we blow it, if we fail, listen, I know failure's not final with the Father. I understand that. I know failure's not final with the Father. But sometimes when we fail, it's going to be passed down to our kids. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of their fathers upon the children, upon the third and the fourth generation. We better be careful. Acknowledge the power. That's one. Number two, avoid the pitfalls. Men, you ready? Avoid the pitfalls. When we were born, ladies and gentlemen, when we were born in the Adamic race, that means we were born after Adam. Adam and Eve. It's Adam and Eve. Amen. We were given as men some hazards that we are going to have to overcome as men. I'm speaking from experience. Fallen sons of Adam. We don't have a natural bend to be spiritual people. Our natural bend is to be worldly. Amen. And so you have to overcome that natural tendency to be worldly, to become godly, and you've got to learn how to overcome that. Some pitfalls that come with being a man. Number one, men, y'all ready? Most all of us are arrogant. Ladies, come on, where's the amen? The men are not going to amen that. The men are not going to amen that, ladies, so I need you. I really need you. Pitfalls coming from being a man. Number one, most men are arrogant husbands and fathers. Men are 90% ego wrapped in skin. They have a John Wayne mentality. When they walk in a room, you know, you're like, oh, Lord. Most men think they are Rambo, John Wayne, Chuck Norris, and Albert Einstein all wrapped up into one body. And ladies, I think you would agree, if we could buy a man for what he's worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth, we could make a profit. Men, avoid that pitfall. We don't know everything. It's okay to stop and ask for directions. Number one, arrogant. There's a pitfall for men that we got to overcome. Number two, being an arrogant father, husband, being an absentee father and husband. Ladies and gentlemen, this one of the devil's favorite tools is to get us to become absentees in the home. Over 15 million kids are growing up in the home without a father figure. I didn't say the father didn't sleep there at night. 70% of men in prison grew up without a father. Kids need a full-time father, a full-time dad, and just because you sleep there at night does not mean that you are doing your job. And just because you sleep there at night don't mean you're not an absentee. You say, preacher, I gotta work. I understand you gotta work, and I understand all of those kinds of things. But ladies and gentlemen, if you are too busy for your family, too busy for your kids, you are too busy. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking from experience. Because I have been, I am an absentee father. Pastoring a church, doing revivals. I've turned 4 revivals down this week to do. Why? Because you cannot do it all. Amen. And so many other things that you've got your hands involved in. Ladies and gentlemen, men included, listen to me. Don't be an absentee father. Don't be an arrogant father. Amen. NBC poll. Discovered by the time the average child is 6 years old, he will have spent more time watching TV than he will have spent talking with their father their entire life. Another study showed that dads spend 38 seconds a day talking with their kids. 38 seconds a day. Amen. Hey, dads, if we're going to make it, we're going to have to avoid some of these pitfalls of being arrogant, being absentee, and being angry. Angry. Just because something don't go your way, you're going to pout like a little baby, stomp your feet and run around and fuss and holler at everybody else in the house, kick the cat, which I'm for. All the ladies are laughing. The men they're just bowed up this morning. A lot of children are being raised by angry, angry, angry fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, it's time we get back to avoiding some of these pitfalls that we have. I want you to notice this. Acknowledge the power. Number 2, avoid the pitfalls. But then number 3, and I'm hurrying, arrange the priorities. How many could admit? You don't have to raise your hand. And I think all of us can agree. Most time our priorities are all jacked up. Amen. Right? All out of whack. But Psalm 112 tells us. You look at verse number 1. That speaks to your relationship with God. Verse number 2 speaks to your relationship with your family. Verse number 3 speaks to your relationship with yourself. Do you see the priority list? God first. Amen. How many times have we missed that one? God first. What happened to the church at Ephesus, the first church in the book of the Revelation? They left their first what? They left their first love. Here in Psalm 112 gives you the priority list. God first. How many of you put God first? Now, this church, now, listen, I don't do this every Sunday, so if you're visiting, come back and you'll have a nice, sweet sermon on something. We'll think of something to be real nice and sweet and to go down real easy. But a lot of people spend too much time at Lakeside Baptist, Bedside Baptist, Dugout Baptist. You better get your priorities right. Well, hallelujah. You ain't got to amen that one. I know it's true. Hey, get them priorities right. Arrange them and get them right, because God will honor a righteous husband and a righteous father. Acknowledge the power. Avoid the pitfalls. Arrange the priorities. And number 4, assume your place. Assume that, number 1, your financial place, your financial responsibility. It is your financial obligation to take care of your home, take care of your family. It is your leadership role. And verse number 3 tells us that as a man who has taken leadership in his household finances, it is not your responsibility to get your family in debt over its head where you can't pay and you can't pay back and you got your back against the wall. It's going to cause problems in your home. It's going to cause problems in your marriage when you buy stuff you can't afford to impress people you don't like. We need some men that will be disciplined in their spending and more in giving. Oh, no, I'm not talking about necessarily giving to church. Now, you give, are you supposed to give? You go have a local church, you ought to give to it. And stop giving them stupid TV preachers. Amen. Stop giving to them. And you ought to give to the church where you're fed at. And be wise, be careful, and be disciplined in your spending. Stop spending. Stop spending money you don't have on credit and just credit and credit this and credit that. Hey, stop all that stuff and be the financial leader of your home. Amen. And most of the time, men, y'all ready for this one? Most of the time, it's what I want. I'll go get it. I'll work for it. It's my money. Oh, you're being arrogant again, huh? We need to go back to that point. You'll notice right here, look at verse number 9. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. This man is not spending money on himself. He's given. He's given out of the abundance, how the Lord blessed him, to somebody else. That'll help you a whole lot. That'll help you a whole lot. Is to learn how to give to others. Financial responsibility. Number two, your spiritual responsibility. Psalm 112 describes a man who finds great delight in God's commandments. Men in this room, fathers in this room. Number one, you are the spiritual leader in that home. You ought to not be sending your family to church. You ought to be taking your family to church. It is your responsibility. If your family is in a jacked up, messed up church, God's going to hold you responsible. And it's not the wife to be the religious nut of the family. It is your job to be the spiritual leader of that home and get right with God. Get saved if you're not saved. Get your kids and show them how to get to this altar and pray to a holy God. Somebody help me anytime you get ready. Amen. Spiritual responsibilities. Delighting in the laws of God. That's what it said in verse 1. Blessed is the man that doth what? Number one, fears the Lord. Number two, delighteth greatly in his commandments. And then, and I'm almost done. Oh, no amens, please. Assume your family responsibilities. Verse number 2. His seed, that's your children, shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Then you go into his character. Then you go into his conduct. Then you go into his confidence. Then you go into charity and his commendation. All in Psalm 100 and verse and 12. Now, in closing, let me say this. Now, the only reason we say in closing is that that's to get your attention. But Proverbs 20 and verse 7 says this, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Now I'm closing. Mark's going to find his way to the piano. Now listen to this. When I was growing up, y'all have already heard, I'm the last of five. They save for the best for last. They had four. Boom, 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 boom. Like that. And mom looked at dad and dad looked at mom and said, we can do better than this. But in all seriousness, there's 12 years between me and the next one. They had them back to back, and then they waited 12 years, and then, you know, there we go. My dad walked into the hospital and tried to pay for my birth with an accident policy. Trying to remember where I'm going with the story. I said all that to say this. I remember we back then, I don't know, what, 2 acres out there, acre and a tenth or so, and fairly big yard, especially with a push mower. Where were the zero turns when I was growing up? 60-inch cut. We had a 12-inch cut, and you had to push it. 100 degrees, middle of the day, Dad says, boy, go out there and mow the yard. But this is what he did. When I first started out, this is what he would do. And how many of you men have done this? Whether it was riding mower, whether it was a push mower. Mine was a push mower. It was a big, long deal. My dad would get that push mower, and he'd start, and he'd make the first round. He'd make the first round going around and out. He'd make all the way around that yard. And he got done. He cut it off. He said, all right, you keep that right wheel where I just mowed, and you follow that. You do the same thing all over again. You follow the path. You follow the path that I've already laid out. And if you'll do what I just laid out for you, when you get done, you'll be blessed with a nicely mowed yard. Men, listen to me. You got small kids. Two of mine's already married and gone. Got kids on the way. Got one more fixing to turn 18 next week. I've already mowed the first trip. Whether it was crooked, whether it was straight, I've already mowed the first trip. And some of them's already started, got one fixing to start. And they fixing to put that right wheel where I've left and finish up the yard. Man, what kind of path are we leaving for our kids? What kind of path are we leaving for our kids to mow? Because it says here, if you'll follow Psalm 112, when you get done, you have a blessed. Blessed is the man. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning. I hope.